1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Microsoft took to X to confirm a worldwide outage is impacting countless businesses. The major U.S. airlines are currently grounded across the globe.
This is happening in the overnight hours when there aren't too many flights taking off. But as you can imagine, the airlines now working as quickly as they can so they can begin their mornings as smooth as possible. But right now, certainly issues for American, Delta, United.
ABC Sam Sweeney. The problem involves CrowdStrike. In accepting the Republican presidential nomination last night, former President Trump outlined an agenda led by what he promises would be the largest deportation operation in U.S. history.
You know, he can talk about the near-death experience, and I'm sure it had a profound impact on him emotionally. But politically, Donald Trump is the same person he's always been.
ABC News political contributor Steve Roberts. This is ABC News. A master of deadpan comedy, Bob Newhart, passed away.
The iconic comedian died after a series of short illnesses at his home in Los Angeles. Newhart was perhaps best known for two very popular CBS sitcoms, The Show Newhart in the 80s and The Bob Newhart Show in the 70s.
I can be spontaneous if you give me a week or two, you know, to plan it out.
His 1960 comedy album, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, won him three Grammys, including Album of the Year and Best New Artist. It was his first comedy album, and it also topped the sales charts. In recent years, he won an Emmy for guest starring on The Big Bang Theory. Bob Newhart was 94. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
Also passing, Lou Dobbs, the conservative political pundit and veteran journalist. He was a founding anchor at CNN and later a nightly presence on the Fox Business Network. His death announced on his official social media. No word on cause of death. He is survived by his wife, children, and grandchildren. Lou Dobbs was 78 years old when he passed away. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by
Pete Schwaba.
Friday night, we're back on Nightlight full-time and discussing Green Bay ghost tours with Tim Freese. And it's Friday, so our Friday friend Terry Barr will be on the show with new music and sparkling convo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated afternoon thunderstorm. A little more humid with a high of 84. Sunday, partly cloudy, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're back in Milwaukee taking a look back at Trump's comments from the night before and what is ahead for Democrats. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Yes, it is a Friday. Sigh of relief for a lot of you folks that have been trying to work around the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. A sigh of relief maybe for some of you parents that are in the home stretch of another county fair season. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for all you winter wheat combine drivers. No breakdowns. Keep it rolling because we've got rain in the forecast suddenly coming in as soon as maybe Saturday afternoon. This morning, we just have to burn off a little bit of fog and it should be a beautiful day. Sunshine. We'll look for highs today. Right around 80 degrees with a little bit of a breeze out of the southwest, 3 to 6 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, down to 60 degrees, or as my dad would say, good sleeping weather. Saturday, we do have a 20% chance of showers or thunderstorms developing after 1 o'clock. Still a beautiful day, sunny and 81. Sunday, again, that chance of showers and thunderstorms creeps larger on Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. So like I said, if you're in the middle of the winter wheat harvest, keep rolling. We'll find out about weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. I'm also calling Sarah Stelter, president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, this morning. She's up in Wautoma, and we're going to find out how the soybean yield contest entries are coming for this year. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, had to adjust his schedule this week in part because of the RNC, so he's going to join us this morning as well.
It's time for the groupiest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th. Yeah, I'm feeling
good. Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th. In Wisconsin, we are known for our award-winning cheese. And where there is cheese, there is whey protein byproduct. And that is no exception for Meister Cheese and Muscadet Protein Products. You may know Meister Cheese for their dairy products, but they also pioneer in another area with Muscadet Protein Products, which is a sister company to process their whey protein. I'm Aubrey Schlumgen from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Scott Meister, who is a third-generation owner at Meister Cheese, explains how his family laid the foundation for whey protein products at their operation.
Muscadet Protein was started by my father in 1981 for taking the whey byproduct from cheese making. So when we start with 100 pounds of milk, we get 10 pounds of cheese and 90 pounds of whey. So the whey can be a real burden as cheese plants get larger, and my father was... it was groundbreaking to create a plant for further processing of whey into its nutritional ingredients. It's called Muscadet Protein Products because it was a joint venture with a couple of other local cheesemakers to help solve their whey disposal problems as well.
Yes, when we talk about disposing of whey products, obviously that comes straight from the cheese. And it's something that is definitely more talked about these days of the more milk that we produce, the more cows we have, the more whey that we're going to have as well. So what kind of sparked that? Obviously you talked about your father taking it over, but what kind of sparked that interest of wanting to develop protein products with the whey contents from the cheese that you're producing here?
Well, my father was well aware that there's nutritional value left left over in the whey byproduct from cheese making. In fact, at one time we raised a lot of hogs on the whey that we produced from our cheese plant, and he knew that there would be an opportunity going into the future to add more value to the whey than just slopping the hogs. So he put in this facility to separate the whey proteins from the milk sugar called lactose. And so we're making two products at Muscadet Protein, whey protein concentrate for use in nutritional drinks and nutritional bars and diet drinks and the like. And the lactose, the milk sugar, we refine and dry that, and that's used also in dairy products, yogurts, but also it's used, a lot of it is used in infant formula.
Wow, that's a lot of different products used for just the simple thing of whey protein. That is fascinating. So what has the market looked like since then? Now that you've developed all these products with Muscadet whey protein products, what is the market like? What is the impact that you guys ship out here at Muscadet Protein Products?
Whey and whey protein concentrate are products whose prices are surveyed by the USDA, and they publish weekly the market value for whey protein concentrate and lactose. And so they have actually kind of become like commodity ingredients used in so many other applications. And the market is easily tracked by following the USDA's surveys.
That is fascinating. So speaking of the market, and obviously when it comes to these products that we see, and they're obviously very common, it seems like everybody these days is wanting to get into using protein products, whether that's getting into their fitness journeys or wanting something that's nutritional, like you talked about before, that nutritional value. So what were your hopes and dreams kind of going into this? Has anything kind of shocked you about how popular they've become, or maybe not so popular in other products? Kind of take us through, what has shocked you with how your products have been doing, or maybe where you want them to go into the future?
What's shocking is how widely adopted whey processing has become in our industry. Like I said, it was novel for my father back in 1981 to build a facility just for the processing of whey. But now it's become really commonplace. As cheesemakers have gotten larger and larger, it's a necessity to process that away and get every bit of value from the milk that you ultimately can. So that's been kind of a shocker.
Where do you see Muscadet protein products going in the future? Obviously, you've seen it become very popular over the years, I'm sure, have gone by. But now, where do you see Muscadet protein products going? Obviously, it seems to be a very popular train these days when it comes to protein products and people kind of contributing that in their diets. But where do you see Muscadet protein products going in the future? Where would you like it to go?
Well, if you look back, the amazing thing is how it's transferred from being when we first started with the whey business, the whey protein concentrate was actually used largely in milk replacer for baby calves. And now that's come full circle, and it's largely used in human applications. So I think that trend will continue to evolve, and we hope to be part of that evolution.
People don't realize, like me, at first I didn't even realize that Muscadet protein products are its own thing. So take us through the environment of Muscadet protein products and what you guys want that imagery around with that.
You know, that's a great question, ironically, at one time, Muscadet Protein Products was kind of a regional processor of whey for so many little cheese factories here in southwest Wisconsin. So since the 80s, the amount of consolidation in the cheese business it seems to grow more and more every year until finally there aren't any little cheese plants left. And we were almost left with a whey processing facility that didn't have any raw material, until our own Meister Cheese Company really started growing in the early 2000s and 2010s. So we've transitioned from becoming a regional whey processor for small cheese producers to basically handling all of our own whey that we generate internally.
Okay, so with the future of Muscadet protein products, where do you see it going? Obviously, your son kind of has a role here with Meister's Cheese. So do you see somebody like kind of taking it over with the protein products? Do you see yourself maybe kind of taking a step back from this someday? What does that look like?
I mentioned how much our cheese plant has grown over the last 10 to 20 years, and that's been our focus to put our resources into our cheese company. I see that continuing for a few more years, but ultimately we'll need to refocus on the whey business, and I can foresee us adding adding capabilities to our whey products processing. So, you know, a small family company with limited resources, you kind of pick the low-hanging fruit when you can. So muscadet protein will have its turn again in the future.
So how many people does it take to actually make the muscadet protein products run? Like, take us through, how many team members do you have? How many people are working on the floor at muscadet protein products? What is that like here?
Both of our plants run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except for scheduled maintenance. And at the whey processing plant, it takes about 40 associates to keep that running 24/7. And our cheese plant, it takes about 60 or 70 employees to keep that plant running 24/7.
That sure is a lot of people. And what is the environment of the team here? What is the environment that you kind of set the tone for your employees, especially with muscadet protein products? Because when people purchase a product, they want to know, you know, what's kind of going into their product as well. What's the environment like with that?
I mentioned I'm a third generation cheesemaker, and my son is involved now, and we had our first grandchild, so we got generation 4 and generation 5 coming up. And we like to be a small town family employer. In fact, if you look at our hallway leading to our break room, you'll see a picture of every one of our associates on the wall. So we'd like to treat everyone like family.
Again, that was Scott Meister, a third-generation owner at Meister Cheese, who stresses the importance of sustainable and efficient ways we can look at cheese-making operations and the benefits it can produce. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Ball.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a very special Devil's Advocates, the RNC MKE 2024 Hangover Edition. In your grievances, we air them on Friday, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Last night for their youth livestock auction, how'd it go?
We had a real good crowd, hung out with us, and the young people did very well.
Good, good. That's what it's all about. Now, in Fond du Lac, do they do small animals too, or is it just the hogs, the lambs, and the beef?
Small animals are on their own, and I believe that is Sunday this year, but I haven't looked that far ahead in the schedule.
Yeah, I know how that goes. So let's talk a little bit. Like I said, Dane County Fair, I'm going to be there tonight. Starts at 6:45 with their youth livestock auction. I believe Green County Fair, they've got theirs coming up this weekend. Really, it doesn't matter what fair or where you're at. We've got a trifecta going on the weather, don't we?
We have some really fine conditions with temperatures that will start getting back in that normal neighborhood as we head into the weekend. Nothing too drastic. I mean, we're not going to suddenly have 90s or anything like that. So a little bit of warm up and really not a whole lot of rain chances to talk about either. So really very, very fine fair weather for everybody with county fairs. Very fine weather in terms of haymaking if you're doing that. Or just watching the crops grow. Yes, as Pam said, a few more growing degree day units would be beneficial, no doubt there. We start warming up again now as we head toward the weekend, so we'll see more of that. Not going to be quite so cool at night and getting warmer again during the day. But there will be some rain chance trying to edge in as we look toward the weekend. Not the case today. On Friday, we have high pressure. Will stay dry, and it sounds very, very fine indeed. But I expect in the weekend, a little cool front way up into central Canada tries to drop southeast. And with that boundary trying to drop on into our part of the Midwest, when we look towards Saturday afternoon, I'm looking into western and northwest Wisconsin, even northern part of the state, lacrosse up to Eau Claire, over to Wausau, and further up toward the UP. Even late Saturday afternoon there, a very slight shower or isolated thunderstorm could develop. Not going to be very widespread, a little pop-up kind of activity. That's all for Saturday. And otherwise, further on east and south, still sunny, nice, a very fine way to start the weekend. Even in the north, where that small rain chance is a very fine start to the weekend. But that front starts to drop on in, and that rain chance, again, will develop into Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. If we see it, maybe a tenth of an inch, not going to wash out too many events at all, but there may be a little rain chance wrapping up the weekend, and those temperatures will slowly and surely be moderating. I expect to see a lot more 80s or low 80s as we head towards Saturday, Sunday, and still early next week, more back to normal level. But that instability, that late afternoon, evening shower or storm tries to edge in and sticks in the picture late Monday, late Tuesday into Tuesday evening, late Wednesday into Wednesday evening. You get the chance, that more typical kind of summer pattern where later in the afternoon you hear the thunder rumble or the clouds roll in. Maybe you get a few drops. Not ideal to get dry hay made, but for crop growth, this sounds like some very good weather once again, with that more likely 80 degree or low 80 degree high almost every day right on through next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
I forgot all the county fairs, so not the only item going on. Stu, back by our home neck of the woods, it's polka days in Pulaski, and this is the ideal kind of weather to be kicking up the sawdust, don't you think?
Yeah, good enough temps for polka dancing, no doubt about that. I have another tractor pull to be out on Sunday as well,
oh, yeah.
So we're watching Sunday afternoon pretty closely, you know?
Yeah, but you said just kind of hit or miss, probably nothing
yep.
That's going to stop a tractor pull.
I sure hope not, but, you know, fingers are crossed.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at that Compure Financial Ag weather update, and it is for a mostly sunny day today. Very nice indeed. Upper 70s, maybe an 80 in the west, with winds gradually becoming west, only about 5. Partly cloudy overnight, upper 50s near 60, right where we should be, and the southwest wind about 5. Partly sunny on Saturday. In the west and north, that slight chance of a late-day shower or storm, still in the very upper 70s and low 80s, with west winds at 5. Sunday, partly sunny skies, a lot of 80s or low 80s, and that very slight chance of an afternoon shower or storm, a little pop-up, will be again around 80 or so with the southwest breeze at 5. Pam, that's kind of the picture into Monday and Tuesday, low 80s and that chance of a little afternoon light rain.
Well, we'll see what comes of it. Have a great weekend. Good luck with the tractor pull. We'll compare notes on Monday.
Sounds good. See you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag weather update on a Friday. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com for more details. We'll catch you in a moment.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Utah voters passed the Better Boundaries Proposition 4 in 2018, setting standards for competitive nonpartisan redistricting. Utah's legislature, in an effort to retain partisan power, gutted that amendment. The state Supreme Court just ruled for the voters. Proposition 4 enacted the Utah Independent Redistricting Commission and Standards Act. It explicitly prohibited dividing districts to favor or disfavor any incumbent, candidate, or political party. It also minimized the splitting of municipalities into different districts, required that districts be geographically compact and contiguous, and followed communities of interest standards. In response, the GOP-dominated legislature severely amended the statute with Senate Bill 200, removing the ban on partisan gerrymandering and clawing back its redistricting power. In maps drawn for the 2020 redistricting cycle, liberal strongholds were diluted in Salt Lake County and other areas to preserve that dominance. In 2022, the League of Women Voters Utah challenged the maps and questioned the legislature's authority to override the people's vote. On July 11th, the court ruled that the legislature could not override the intent of the voters, only change it to codify or enhance the amendment. Justices returned the case to a lower court, but said they may address the partisan gerrymandering should it not be resolved by the lower court and legislature. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Microsoft took to X to confirm a worldwide outage is impacting countless businesses. The major U.S. airlines are currently grounded across the globe.
This is happening in the overnight hours when there aren't too many flights taking off. But as you can imagine, the airlines now working as quickly as they can so they can begin their mornings as smooth as possible. But right now, certainly issues for American, Delta, United.
ABC Sam Sweeney. The problem involves CrowdStrike. In accepting the Republican presidential nomination last night, former President Trump outlined an agenda led by what he promises would be the largest deportation operation in U.S. history.
You know, he can talk about the near-death experience, and I'm sure it had a profound impact on him emotionally. But politically, Donald Trump is the same person he's always been.
ABC News political contributor Steve Roberts. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
The Brewers back from break. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers return to action after the All-Star break with a game against the Twins tomorrow night in Minnesota. Milwaukee in first place with a 4.5-game lead ahead of the Cardinals. Rhys Hoskins joined the Brewers in free agency and spoken why he feels he made the right decision.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit. You know, as I can stand back and kind of take a 10,000-foot view of baseball itself and where I may fit in that. But having talking to a bunch of guys either on the team or that have played there in the past, it just fit even more so with, you know, the type of culture that they have and what I'm trying to accomplish.
In golf, Garrett Jones, the winner of this year's WSGA State Amateur Championship, the 39-year-old from Madison, shot an even par for the tournament at the Legend at Merrill Hills in Waukesha. Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks take on the Phoenix Suns in Summer League action in Las Vegas. A recap later tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams and I will give our final thoughts on the RNC wrapping up in Milwaukee. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated afternoon thunderstorm. A little more humid with a high of 84. Sunday, partly cloudy, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
Go
it
ahead.
Clean.
Thanks. That's really
You
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
Thanks.
That. That's
wow, that's unbelievable.
Really impressive.
You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Dow Jones Industrial Average losing a couple points on a Friday morning. Our commodities are really, really quiet. But why? Is another shoe about to drop? We're going to find out about it. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's going to join us live this morning. We had to adjust his schedule a little bit because of the Republican National Convention, but he's wound up and ready to go. He'll catch up with us towards the end of the half hour. And just around the corner, I've got Sarah Stelter, president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, on hold. She's a soybean grower herself up in the Wautoma area, wants to talk to you this morning about the potential for the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Weather's going to be pretty friendly to soybeans and really anything in Wisconsin today. Sunshine, 80 degrees are expected high after we burn off a little fog this morning. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with sunshine, but we do start seeing that possibility of rain crawling back into the forecast by tomorrow afternoon. For the folks that are harvesting wheat, or maybe you folks at the county fair, what's going on? How are the kids doing? How's the wheat running? The protein count look pretty good? You can share it with us on the Talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. Happy to give a shout out to any of those kids at county fairs that are making some memories. Let me know about them, okay? Well, today is the 19th day of July. Not a lot of things to point to as far as historical marks. On this day in 1900, the Metro opened in Paris. Paris is one of the densest metropolitan populations in the world, and they started using the Metro on this day back in 1900. On this day, 1903, the first Tour de France comes to an end. And now you know. Like I said, I've got her on hold. Welcome in Sarah Stelter. She is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. She's a grower herself in Wautoma. Kind enough to climb on the phone with us early this morning. Thanks, Sarah. I can't start a conversation this year with any farmer without asking about the weather. How's it been treating you in the Wautoma area?
Well, it's been a challenging year for us, just like everybody else, but probably a little less so, being that we have sandy soil. When we do get a lot of rain, it tends to leave us quicker. And then obviously in drought years, we're really, really hurting. But the other thing is we haven't gotten quite as much rain as people north and south of us have gotten. So that's been okay with us. I mean, we still have crops that we're concerned about, especially with the vegetables in this area, mm-hmm. the peas and the green beans and even the potatoes. If they sit in water too long, that's not a good thing. Yeah. So we do have concerns, but in this area, we're in a little bit better shape than in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Sarah's located in Wautoma, just in case you're wondering. Now, let's talk a little bit. We mentioned that Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest is something that we want a lot of farmers and their seed vendors to be thinking about. That's kind of a very important staple to the Wisconsin Soybean Association, isn't it, Sarah? Tell them a little bit about how the association uses some of that information in interactions.
Well, we use what the Wisconsin Soybean Association does is we lobby for with our legislators, both on a national and a state level. And this year, with all the turmoil going on everywhere, it's more important than ever that people look at what we're doing and get involved in our organization. Obviously, we're still working very, very hard on getting the Farm Bill approved and passed. And it's got a ways to go yet. And then we also keep a very close eye on what's going on in the state. On a state level, we work with other ag groups to really monitor this and to keep on top of it in case there's things that come up that will affect how we farm and the way will affect how we farm.
Right. Yeah. And Wisconsin Soybean Association just launched at their annual convention earlier this year an actual paid membership. Sarah, how is that doing as far as attracting participants?
Well, this year, it's kind of a two-for-one deal. There's a $25 entry fee to join the yield contest or to enter into the yield contest, or you can buy a 103-year a membership in the association for $150, and your $25 entry fee is included in that. So you don't have to dish out another $25 to join.
Yeah.
So to join the yield contest. So it's really another option, another way that we're looking at attracting members. And again, it's really important more so than ever now with the various legislation that is potentially coming down that people get involved in the association so that we can monitor this on a regular basis.
Sarah Stelter along with her from Wautoma. She is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Again, if you want to find out more about how you can get involved with the Soybean Yield Contest, you can always go to coolbean.info. That's Dr. Sean Conley's website where he'll have information for you, or isoybean.org. The other opportunity for people, Sarah, coming up is the annual golf outing. Still time to register if you want to get a foursome together.
Yes, we are. We are starting our first annual golf outing. It's the inaugural Clean Fuels Classic. It's being played in Evansville on July 29th. There's still time to sign up a team. This money will be used to support the Wisconsin Soybean Association and our efforts, again, in lobbying and monitoring what's going on in Madison and in D.C. So it's really important. If you want a fun day of it, there's a free meal involved at the end of the day, and there's different smaller games within the whole tournament. It's going to be a fun event in Evansville, and hopefully the weather will cooperate.
That's right. Absolutely. Start with that. And again, as Sarah said, if you want to get involved with the Wisconsin Soybean Association, it will also guide you into the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Tell them again, Sarah, how that two-for-one deal is working this year.
Well, it's going great. For $25, you can get an entry fee, or if you pay $150, you get a 3-year membership, and your $25 entry fee is included with that. So it'd be $150 for 3 years. It's really a good bargain.
Boy, that is for sure. Check it out. WISoybean.org is where you'll find the Wisconsin Soybean Association's website. And as she said, Farm Bill still in the works. Wisconsin Soybean Association able to lobby on your behalf. And that may include, as Sarah and I said, that may include conversations at the state level for funding if these crops get any more rain, huh, Sarah?
Oh, absolutely. It's more critical than ever that people that join the organization, there's some really potentially impactful things that are coming down from the national level, as well as some of the stuff going on at the state. So we really need to stay on top of this.
Beautiful. And they will stay in clear communication with you on what's happening that impacts your farm. Sarah Stelter joining us from Wautoma. She's the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Why don't you take advantage of that special deal? 3 years of membership in the association, plus you get your yield contest in as well. Find details, get registered online, wisoybean.org. And join us July 29th for the Wisconsin Soybean Association's inaugural golf tournament. Again, all details, wisoybean.org. Markets just around the corner.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money.
Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
I'm chatting a little later this morning with Senator Joan Ballweg. She is the chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee. I want to give a shout out on behalf of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. They've presented their third annual Cheese Champion Awards, and Joan Ballweg was one of those that received it, along with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, our friend Senator Howard Markline from Spring Green, also Brad Paff from Onalaska, and Representative Tony Kurtz. Travis Trannell, state representative from Cuba City, was selected also as a Cheese Champion Award winner for their advocacy for Wisconsin's dairy industry. Thank you. All right, markets in overnight electronic trade are very quiet right now. We'll find out why with John Heinberg in just a moment. December corn's unchanged. November soybeans, they're up about a penny right now at 10.44. The wheat for September down a penny at 5.34. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was unchanged at 191 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was a half cent higher at 186 and a half. But AA butter dropped 2.5 cents on Thursday to 310 and a half per pound. Now this morning, the August Class 3 milk is up 2 cents right now. That's the milk that goes into cheese at 2019. September closed 39 cents stronger yesterday, 2078 a hundredweight. What's going on with the markets? What should we prepare for today and into next week? John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Little adjusted schedule. We've got him coming up next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Maggie Dawn.
Folks, I'm taking a little bit of a vacation, but do not worry, you'll be in excellent hands with Matt Rothschild and Jim Santel as your guest host. Stay tuned.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
taken care of. Again, my talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let me know how the harvest is coming or how the kids are doing at the fair. Joining us this morning, he's doing pretty good, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us. So let's talk just a little bit, buddy, about what's going on out there as far as the weather. Apparently, everybody's pretty positive about this corn yield, huh?
Yeah, we're starting to hear, and unfortunately it's weighing on the market here, keeping the any type of rally limited. There's just some chatter out there that we could be seeing corn yield push up as high as 183, 184. Now, it's going to be a combination of things. Obviously, some of the acres that were damaged falling off as unharvested acres. And when you take acres out and leave good acres in, it brings yield higher. So it's kind of a natural progression. But, you know, I put some windshield time in here over the weekend. I drove through Indiana down to Kentucky and back. And that Indiana corn crop just looked absolutely amazing in terms of what I've seen over the last handful of years making that trip. A lot of great potential there. Talking to people in central Illinois, same type of look there as well. You know, so we got those core states that really are looking at producing some significant bushels on the corn supply this year. And that's one thing that's going to keep this market in check right here at this time frame.
Doesn't help that our export picture is as bleak as it is.
Yeah, and that's still the biggest thing we need right now. We need demand for both soybeans and corn this morning. And we need to get things kind of moving there. Now, corn export sales, old crop. Now we only got about a few weeks left in the marketing year. But they were disappointing yesterday. And here we are. We've seen prices kind of slide. And the demand has slid with it. So that's been another thing that's been weighing on the front end of this market at this time frame. Now, one thing that was encouraging, at least for the soybean side, we saw that Chinese purchase of some new crop beans last week. Another solid purchase of unknown destinations yesterday for 500,000 plus ton. You know, so maybe we're going to finally get some business there because those soybean exports right now, at least for next year, in terms of where we are at the pace, is about a 24-year low.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Always remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. You can also call John at 800-334-9779. I don't want to dwell on it, John, but we're coming off Donald Trump being elected as the Republican national candidate. No surprises there. But the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been working in fits and jerks lately. S&P not doing real well. And then, like we said, lack of international demand for our commodities. Is it all together in a bunch?
Well, there's a lot of things going on in the equity markets, but it's been an extremely volatile week in the equity markets, especially yesterday in the Dow futures. And we saw that market roll over about 700 points off the high before closing where it is. S&P is putting a big sell signal in this week in terms of its trade, barring a snapback today. Some of it is seasonality. Typically, the 1st of August window is a time frame that the liquidity kind of dries up a little bit. Some of the traders step aside until we get back in the fall. And this market has been on a heck of a run for both of them here overall. And it needs some profit taking. And that might be what's just happening here. Some of it also, too, we had that weak Chinese GDP data at the start of the week. Maybe this market's just a little concerned that it's just getting out over its skis a little bit here, especially as we move closer to the fall and the volatility that could be coming with the election.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I have to address. The election overtones, conversations. Traders are paying attention to this. They are getting antsy about what could be happening 2025.
Yeah, there is some that is some of the talk in the marketplace, too. I mean, right now, obviously, the thought in the market's mindset that President Trump could be elected again. A little concern regarding the potential protectionism trade policies that, you know, he obviously brought during his first presidency term. You know, that's some of the things that's weighing on the commodity space in general, I think, here is, you know, what happens in terms of a trade war with China? This talk of the tariffs coming back in. You know, and that's something I think the market's just maybe pricing in a little bit here as well. Could be that type of a situation. You know, obviously we'll see where things are in the long run, but, you know, markets move on momentum, markets move on sentiment. And right now a little bit of that is the sentiment in the marketplace. And if you look at the commodity sector in general, we're starting to see some things that are starting to show up, especially in those tradable commodities such as the eggs.
I got to ask you, John, for a little advice. A lot of my audience is suffering with erratic fields. You know, some corn looks great, other corn looks lousy. Yields are likely going to be off. We keep our fingers crossed. We're going to stretch the growing season. Markets are not giving me much opportunity. I mean, we're below break evens, really, if you look at country elevator prices. Give me some advice here. How am I supposed to handle this? Sell it to my dairy farmer neighbors as feed if it's not going to make number two? What am I supposed to do here?
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult spot. You know, I talk about how good things are in some areas, and obviously I've seen the areas in Wisconsin where things are struggling because of the wetness that we've dealt with this year. You know, keep your marketing options open. One of the things I am still talking about with producers right now is just get a handle on prices for bushels that you may or may not have using put strategies. They're relatively cheap right now just to get a floor under this thing. I know you're protecting maybe a loss, but let's at least make sure we minimize the damage that could be there. That at least gives you market flexibility down the road to see where the crop gets to. But by the time we get to the fall, and then you got some choices at least in front of you. But right now, just sitting back, watching things continue to tumble or be pressured and just watch that bottom line fall is still one of the biggest problems. Get some handle by at least looking at some put strategies, getting a floor into this market, especially if you're unsure where that yield could wind up being.
Yeah. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on a Friday to send you with that advice into the weekend. Remember, you can find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com, or call him 800-334-9779. Have a good weekend.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We'll talk about food deserts, including tips for coping with them, next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
You've likely heard the term food desert. Sarah Mohammed is a registered dietitian in Chicago who was acquainted with food deserts when she interned at Mississippi State University Extension.
Food deserts can exist in both rural and urban areas. We see the rural areas being more of concern due to smaller population size and lack of major industry in those areas, where the revenue is not as strong compared to like a larger metropolitan area.
Mohammed says many extension programs offer advice on how to navigate food deserts.
For those who have difficulty purchasing enough groceries to prepare nutritious meals on a tight budget, being able to have the education to sit and plan a successful shopping trip but not take up too much time will be beneficial for the future and also become second nature.
Mohammed says food deserts pose not just an economic problem but a nutrition problem as well. And she says extension can help with that.
For example, informing someone that they can purchase frozen vegetables and steam them as compared to boiling or frying them to retain their nutritional value is the type of advice that's easy to understand. It saves money compared to buying fresh and requires little effort.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette joins us to talk about a story he's having published on Wisconsin's economy.
Plus, we'll feature live music with Heights Pub and Parlor. We'll hear the music of Michaela Lee. It'll be great.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I'm going to talk about personal finance persistence, or grit, or as I like to think about it, stick-to-itiveness. Stick-to-itiveness is not only about doing monthly regular money chores like checking your budget, it's also about accomplishing bigger money tasks. You know, like imagine closing a bank account and then moving your cash to another bank account with a higher interest rate. You know it's a good idea, but ugh, you also know it's probably going to be a big hassle. Well, it's worth noting that there's a reason why most companies don't make this stuff easy. Because when it's hard, you pay them. Maybe in fees, maybe just because it's complicated, so they're hoping you'll give up and leave it. They make more off of you giving up. The key to navigating this stuff is persistence. Get the information you need, decide what you want to do, and then persist and persist and persist through all the hold times and other nonsense until you get it done. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News.